Often, when we think of habits, we think about things like diet, exercise, or quitting vices like sugar or alcohol. We talked in an earlier session about core habits for high performance. We generally have a notion of bad habits we want to break and good ones we want to build. There have been a ton of books and articles written on this topic, and there are lots of proven ways to do this. A bad habit can be defined as a behavior that provides immediate gratification but has long-term costs. Think about this. Pick a bad habit you have. What is the immediate gratification? Sugar tastes really good. Social media lets you be distracted from your hard work. Smoking and drinking provide you with immediate relaxation. On the other hand, good habits are immediately challenging but have long-term benefits. Exercise is hard in the moment, but it feels great weeks later when you can run that 5K or fit into your skinny breeches. Eating healthy is less fun than a sugar high in the moment, but pays off when you feel really great and have energy to burn down the road. This is why bad habits are hard to break and good habits are hard to build. That said, there are lots of scientifically and anecdotally proven methods to build good habits, methods that work. What I want to talk with you about right now is how to apply these methods to changing your upper limiting habits. Remember, your upper limiting habits are things like worry, deflection, criticism and blame, making excuses, and breaches of integrity. These are ingrained ways of thinking and responding that can be really powerful habits that keep you from making the shift you want, whatever that shift is, from where you are to where you want to be. So let's continue with the example of you being a timid rider, becoming a confident rider. We are operating on the assumption here that you have already solved any safety concerns and that you ride in a safe environment on a safe horse. What are your upper limiting habits? Let's say that one of them is worry. When things start to go well, you immediately scan the world for what ifs. You scan the world for things to worry about that may or may not even happen and that you have no control over. This worry causes you to miss out on the joy and affirmation of your successes and keeps you living in a state of fear and low confidence. Another of your upper limiting habits might be deflection. Every time someone acknowledges you for doing a good job or having a great seat or a successful round, you immediately shut down the energy of the positive feedback by disagreeing with it or ignoring it. Deflection is like waterproofing against confidence. It keeps your attention on what's wrong with you instead of fully embracing what is right and wonderful. So we're going to focus on these two habits as examples. Remember, you may have completely different upper limiting habits. Think about how you can apply these principles to your own. Okay, so number one, self-expectations are self-fulfilling. So this means that if you want to quit worrying, stop thinking that you're going to try and stop worrying or that you should stop worrying. Remember, the definition of worry is to let your mind dwell on things you have no control over and cannot immediately do anything about. If your end goal is to stop worrying, become someone who does something else. If a smoker thinks of himself as a smoker trying to stop smoking, he will remain a smoker trying to stop smoking. If you're a worrier trying to stop worrying, you will remain a worrier trying to stop worrying and therefore remain a timid rider. So, what do you want to be instead? How about I'm a positive, trusting person who focuses on what I want? I'm a positive, trusting person who focuses on what I want. When you have an amazing ride and you feel exhilarated, instead of being a worrier, be that. A positive, trusting person who focuses on what you want. When you notice your brain scanning for what ifs, scan for the good things instead. Think about your vision. What just went well? What's it like to be a trusting, positive rider? You will have to consciously give up the sneaky satisfaction that comes from believing that you are not good enough. You will have to give up the security that worry provides by letting you hide in it. This requires a plan. It requires you to begin to act like a trusting, positive person before you actually feel like one, and identify ahead of time all the thoughts and behaviors that go along with that. You might develop a habit of identifying the three best things about every ride, or you might practice intercepting every what-if thought with a positive statement about something you can control. For example, what if my horse bucks me off becomes, I am going to ride like a rock star no matter what happens. What if I made the wrong decision becomes, I trust myself and can handle whatever happens. Decide who you are and make a list of all the new thoughts that you're going to replace with the old ones. All the new thoughts that are going to replace the old ones. If you're someone who is gracious about receiving praise instead of someone who deflects, you might make a list of the possible responses to a compliment or acknowledgement that you will now be intentional about. Thanks, but it could have been a lot better becomes, thank you, I'm really happy with our improvement. Or yes, we've been working hard on that. Okay, so that was self-expectations are self-fulfilling. Okay, number two is focus on process. Focus on the changes you're making rather than the outcome. Be proactive about what you are doing rather than trying to stop something. If you stay focused on the process of changing your upper limiting habits instead of just expecting to be able to fix them, you will have much more success making sustainable changes. With the worrying example, this means that you're more focused on your strategic positive thoughts than on all the what ifs. Number three, break through the plateau of latent potential. So this means that you give up the idea that progress is linear. You will have a learning curve, you will have relapses, and you will regress at times. If you make a few small changes, fail to get immediate results, and decide to give up, you have not gotten past this plateau of latent potential. In order to make a meaningful difference, you need to persist with your new habit long enough to reach consistency. If you are successful at first with the not worrying thing, there's a good chance that your upper limiting belief will try to kick into high gear and you'll start worrying again. This is okay. Focus again on the small steps you're taking to change and trust that you have not gone backwards. You are just in the middle of the process. Number four, supply your brain with dopamine. You've heard me talk about this before. Feature Fridays are not an accident. Every time you have a win and you fully embrace it, you get a little dopamine hit. Dopamine puts you in a good mood. When you're in a good mood, you're able to be more proactive, more present, and more likely to follow through on your commitments to yourself. So indulge in patting yourself on the back for every little win. This will allow you to be more consistent and change your habit more quickly. In Atomic Habits, which I highly recommend, by the way, James Clear says, habits are the compound interest of self-improvement. This is such a great way to look at it. Your habits are these little levers that can trigger great change. Every time you accept a compliment with grace and let it land, embrace the discomfort and call it a win. Pretty soon, you won't even have to think about it, and you'll be soaking in all that good stuff. Okay, number five. So there's this thing called the Goldilocks rule. The Goldilocks rule says that human beings experience peak motivation when they are working on things that are right on the edge of their current abilities. Not too hard and not too easy. If you try to make changes that are too big or too hard, you may get discouraged and lose motivation. If you try to make changes that are too easy, they may lose meaning and you may lose motivation. How does this apply to these upper limiting habits? Make sure that as you change your thought and behavior habits, that they are truly meaningful to you. if you're trying to think positive thoughts because you've been told that's the thing to do, it's likely too simple a solution and will not motivate you to make actual change. If you try to eliminate worry altogether without allowing for a gradual learning curve, it will be too hard. You'll likely worry about not being able to stop worrying and give up altogether. So, adjust your self-expectations to match who you are becoming rather than who you are. Focus on process. Persist with your new habits until you break through the plateau of latent potential. I just love saying that. Celebrate small wins and supply your brain with dopamine. And follow the Goldilocks rule. Adjust your self-expectations to match who you are becoming rather than who you are. Focus on process. Persist with your new habits until you break through the plateau. Celebrate small wins and follow the Goldilocks rule. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but these are the principles that I think are the most important for you to understand in order to be able to navigate the gap between where you are and where you want to be. The thing that I would like to add is that when your habits begin to truly reflect the new belief that you want to have, the shift often happens without you really noticing. Be willing to be new each day. Be willing to be uncomfortable first and then to embrace joy next. One of the things that I'm learning to let go of is struggle. It doesn't always have to be hard. You might be surprised by your own capacity to change when you put your mind to it. I wish you so much self-compassion and grace along the way as you navigate your gap.